Whoops. We rolled these back up.
Your government doesn't care about you. That's why you need a medical emergency kit. It contains life-saving medications like ivermectin, Z-Pak, and antibiotics. Stock them before they block them.
It is necessary to investigate before legislating. But the line between investigating and persecuting is a very fine one.
The investigators tell us it seems the suspect was going to pass them, then turned and fired.
Christine Laura, what you're seeing behind me is one of multiple locations.
Arise to support the impeachment of President Donald J. Trump.
And I'm about to talk to him about allegations that he was involved with prostitutes in Moscow and that the Russians taped it and have leverage over him.
So we are honored to have Joe Carson with us. Joe has an interesting background. He's a whistleblower and longtime Department of Energy employee and has quite a story to tell. Welcome, Joe.
Well, thank you. And thank you, Todd. And thank you for inviting me to talk to your audience. So my background, I'm a mechanical engineer, a licensed professional engineer. I served on Admiral Rickover Hand selected me to serve in the nuclear Navy for 6 years on submarines. I then worked in commercial nuclear power plants in the 1980s when America was still building them. And I've been a nuclear safety engineer in the Department of Energy since 1990. And the Department of Energy is singular among America's almost or over 300 federal agencies. And that stems from its nuclear weapons mission. A lot of people saw the movie Oppenheimer last year, and the Department of Energy is the successor agency to the Manhattan Project and to the Atomic Energy Commission. So it, during the Cold War, a lot of things happened, both environmental devastation and worker health and safety disasters in the Department of Energy. Mm-hmm. And I started in 1990 after the Cold War had ended, and some of these things started to come out in, more into the open. But when I joined the Department of Energy, I was had worked in commercial nuclear power plants, had worked in shipyards, and I was just shocked by what I was seeing with respect to worker safety practices and also radiation control practices. I got into my my whistleblowing kind of started indirectly in that they hired me into the Department of Energy because I'm going into some of the background here, Todd. Mm-hmm. The Nuclear Regulatory Commission and the Department of Energy were both initially part of the AEC, the Atomic Energy Commission. And then they were split off in the 70s because they felt that there was an inherent conflict of interest with the AEC, both trying to promote nuclear power and regulate nuclear power. Somewhat similar to what's going on right now with the FAA, the Federal Aviation Administration, which has a mission to both promote commercial air travel and then to regulate commercial air travel, kind of an inherent, can be a tension. Or
not working so well right now.
No. Well, Boeing, we go into Boeing and my story. There are some connections in that. I'm a licensed professional engineer, and by engineering ethics, I'm a mandated reporter, as are other engineers, when necessary to protect public health and safety, including workplace health and safety, in the performance of professional duty. Mm-hmm. So that's a theme to my story, and every whistleblower, there's a lot of commonality in every whistleblower story. Basically, they did the right thing and were punished for it. Mm-hmm. But my story is, a nuance to my story is, I can point to an objective standard of my professional credentials as requiring me to do what I'm doing. And that might be one reason why I have survived and as still an employee of the Department of Energy for so long, although there'd be a little humorous or black humor. When you become a whistleblower in the nuclear industry, you're blacklisted. Okay. You're not going to get a job somewhere else.
Right.
So at some point, why am I still employed by the Department of Energy? Well, it's kind of like being in a bad marriage. You know, I don't have any real, you know, if I leave DOE, Department of Energy, I'm not going to get another job in the nuclear field.
Right.
Now, at this stage of the game, I'm 70 years old. I have 40 years of federal service. My house is paid for. My kids are raised. I have relatively little to lose. And in America, as a whistleblower, I'm going to say, hey, Todd, God bless America. I have not risked my life and my liberty. I really have not. Everything else, my job, my career, my savings, family, health, yeah, they were all in play, but not my life or liberty. And in many parts of the world, a whistleblower, you are risking your life or your liberty, as well as, you know, your job.
Well, today you might say that things are changing in that respect, but go ahead, yeah.
So God bless America, but God bless America through patriots like me who stick our necks out for the common good. And I have been nonviolently resisting government lawbreaking now for 30 years. There's a record of government lawbreaking against me a mile long. All right, but I'm you know, at this point, I'm by any objective measure, I'm having a pretty nice life. Okay, I want to be fair and balanced. But I'm talking about America and our posterity and what's happening in this world, 2024. I have the whistleblowing that I'm now engaged with has troubling implications for the security of America's nuclear stockpile and much, much else relevant to American public health, safety, security, and welfare. So let me kind of cut more to the chase with this. So Todd, if I were to, like a rhetorical question, Todd, there were about, a human body has about 12 major systems, circulatory, respiratory, digestive, structure, you know, the bones, et cetera. If I were to say, which one of those 12 systems would you want to be the healthiest? So I'm not going to say anyone would not be healthy, but which of those 12 would you want to be the healthiest?
I have no idea. What's the right answer?
Well, I'm not going to say there's a right answer, but my answer would be, I think my immune system. Of course, if that's healthy, it'll keep the other ones healthy. So my point with my whistleblowing is there's an immune system, so to speak, for federal agency employment that it be merit-based, not corruption-based. And by merit-based, I mean you get hired on merit, you get promoted on merit, you get demoted or terminated for lack of merit, as opposed to cronyism, nepotism, bribery, favoritism, or as I'm alleging, reprisal for whistleblowing or reprisal for engaging in a protected activity. And there's a Congress created in the 1970s, a post-Watergate law, the Civil Service Reform Act of 1977, and I'm showing my age, but that was a major part of Jimmy Carter's platform and getting elected in 1976 was to reform the federal civil service. And that was because Nixon really politicized the agencies to basically, we'd say he was open about it. I'm going to use these agencies to reward my friends and punish my enemies. So that helped provide an impetus to pass the Civil Service Reform Act, which is the single biggest change to federal civil service from its creation in 1883 by the Pendleton Act until 2024, till today. Now, the civil service was created, I'm going off a little tangent, a little bit of history, because until 1883, federal agency employment was patronage-based. So and the term lobbyist, believe it or not, comes from that era when a President Grant or another president was coming out of an office or a hotel or a building. All these people would rush him, called lobbyists. They'd been waiting in the lobby, seeking his attention to get a job as postmaster, a tax collector, or something else in their town. You know, they'd be their favorite, you know, talking about how they had supported him or her in the election.
Yeah.
Well, James Garfield was elected president in 1880, and he was assassinated by a disappointed office seeker. And he died a horrible death. He lingered for months. And this was in the newspaper every day. And that helped spur Congress, as well as all the scandals that had happened in the Grant administration with the cronyism and just the lack of competence to pass the Pendleton Act, which created what is now this federal civil service. All right, so I mentioned federal civil service is supposed to be merit-based. And the system to protect merit-based employment, I'm being the engineer again, I kind of liken it to Rube Goldberg with this will do this will do the other, and it all somehow all sort of work. But there were three major facets to it. One would be the agency head. Another would be a tiny office, tiny obscure office, few people have ever heard of, called the U.S. Office of Special Counsel, which is distinct from the special counsels in the Department of Justice that are now involved with prosecuting President Trump. You can term the special counsel, that's kind of a generic term. But there is the United States Office of Special Counsel, which means that the United States means it's an independent executive branch agency. And the third piece of it is the United States Merit System Protection Board, which has a role somewhat similar to the Department of Labor for private sector employment. So if you have an employment dispute, if you're a federal agency employee, the Merit System Protection Board would provide an adjudicative function for it. But as many federal agencies have, it has more than one function. I mentioned this Office of Special Counsel, this obscure little thing, which has about 130 employees, the police workforce, over 2 million federal agency employees. It has no fewer than 7 singular functions to protect and promote merit-based employment practices in all federal agencies. And it has 130 employees. So my public testimony, I'm a professional engineer, and Todd, I'm going to share this with the audience. I've been sharing for quite a while. If I'm an engineer crying wolf, I can be disciplined by my state licensing authority. Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm supposed to be held to a higher standard for truth, for making public statements such as this in a truthful and objective fashion. And I've been inviting people in the Department of Energy and other federal agencies, if you disagree with what I'm saying, file a complaint against me. I want a chance to make my case. And this will get a little further into that later, why I'm still a whistleblower 30 years later, can't get a resolution, and why I'm speaking to you in the hopes of advancing that objective. So the Merit Protection Board, okay, so to go back to this immune system, the agency head is charged to prevent what are termed legal terminology, act government acronyms, prohibited personal practices, which are basically unlawful federal agency employment practices, which I just mentioned, cronyism, nepotism, EEO, discrimination mm-hmm. based on race, age, and also whistleblower reprisal. Now, the agency head is charged to prevent them. The Office of Special Counsel is charged to protect federal agency employees from them. And the Merit System Protection Board has two related functions. One is to adjudicate claims of prohibited personal practices. But the claim that I'm involved with my whistleblower disclosure is it's also to sound the alarm to the President and Congress if it determines that federal agency employees are not adequately protected from whistleblower reprisal and other types of unlawful agency employment practices. And the bottom line is that that report goes out under the signature of the chairperson or the chairman, is the legal term, whether the chairman be of male or female, goes out under his or her signature to the President and Congress. And that report has not been made since the creation of the Merit System Protection Board in 1979.
Hmm. Wow.
Why not? Well, if you talk to people, we mentioned how the FAA has an inherent conflict of interest in both promoting air travel and regulating air travel. Well, the Merit System Protection Board, as has been explained to me, if it were to report the truth that federal agency employees are not adequately protected from reprisal, it would be kind of criticizing itself, its own function. So mm-hmm. it has kind of a conflict of interest. And then it gets even more convoluted because the attorneys, both the United States Office of Special Counsel and the United States Merit System Protection Board, the vast majority of their employees are attorneys. And by legal ethics, if you are a federal agency attorney, your client is your employing agency. So believe it or not, the special counsel is the term, the special counsel of the Office of Special Counsel. He or she is a presidentially nominated, Senate-confirmed individual. The agency, as well as the chairman and the members of the Merit System Protection Board, also presidentially nominated, Senate-confirmed. They are the leaders of these agencies, but the agency is also their client in an attorney-client relationship.
Mm-hmm.
And according to legal ethics, look it up. I've talked to the licensing authority for these individuals. Their primary professional duty is to protect their client if that duty comes into conflict with another duty. So if I were to claim, I am claiming, that they are not properly interpreting and applying relevant law to protect foolish people like me who stick on necks out for the common good as federal agency employees, their licensing agency says no foul. They have no duty to do that. But they do have a positive duty to protect their agencies from any allegation of such law breaking, such as I'm making.
Mm-hmm.
My point is, I have now been to the Supreme Court four times, and I'm still blowing whistles. Why? Because the agency, I'm up against the phalanx of agency attorneys who consider it their sworn duty to prevent any resolution of my whistleblower disclosures because it might find their client in the wrong, regardless if it contributes to a nuclear 9/11 to a COVID epidemic, economic meltdowns, airplanes falling out of the sky, loss of space shuttles, economic meltdowns, everything. They say, I am going to protect my client. I'm a hired gun. My client's never wrong. I will do whatever I can get away with to prevent any resolution or any claim against my agency. They're open about it. And here we are. And I'm the licensed professional engineer, foolhardy enough to say, oh, well, my sworn duty as a professional engineer is to hold paramount the public health, safety, welfare, and the performance of my professional duty. And I can't do my professional duty because I'm not adequately protected from reprisal. So that would go round and round and round, year after year, court case after court case. So what I'm trying to do in speaking to people like you, Todd, is to break the logjam by getting Congress to ask the current chairman of the Emergency Protection Board, her name is Kathy Harris, who, believe it or not, represented me as a whistleblower over 20 years ago. My case has gone on that long. Ask her some questions about the statutory duty that she has to report to Congress whether people like me are adequately protected from reprisal.
So what kind of response are you getting from the judiciary when these cases go up?
They basically, my perception is the judiciary has a real, when you're suing the government, the judiciary is kind of like the home job. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. You got a homerism, so to speak there. The refs are on their side. Okay. Mm-hmm. Typically. That's
so you're not getting relief in the courts to date is what you're saying?
No, but it goes... To be a whistleblower, to prevail in a case of whistleblower reprisal, you have to have reasonable belief in your whistleblower disclosure. Mm-hmm. I mean, I can't go say, "Hey, my boss is having is getting secret communications from a Martian," and if I'm and then if I get terminated, I can't say, "Well, that's a whistleblower disclosure." What's the proof? You know, you have to demonstrate reasonable belief. So. What's been happening for 20 years, the attorneys with the help of the judicial system, they get my cases dismissed for lack of jurisdiction. So we never get to the merits of the case. So I never get a chance to make whether or not my whistleblower disclosure is, I have reasonable belief in it. That's why it goes on and on and on, but isn't that similar to what happened with the Catholic Church and pedophile priests with the attorneys representing the
diocese, election fraud, go down the list
or opioids or whatever. So this is typical legal ethics. If you think your client's wrong, try to prevent the determination, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. But this is the government. This is the government. These are federal, there's no, but the attorneys don't look at it that way. Their client is like, I'm a client, a drug company, a Catholic diocese. I'm just a hired gun. They're open about it, right? And my legal ethics, I can't say that's wrong.
Do you have any legal support? I mean, do you have is there any federal support for attorneys for you? Or how does that work?
Well, if I want, life's been good to me, but I've probably spent over $1 million in attorney's fees in the last 30 years. Mm-hmm. But I also had a little bit of an itch to be an attorney, and I've scratched that itch. I've done a lot of the stuff pro se, mm-hmm. Otherwise I wouldn't be talking to you in my own house with you'd be bankrupted. Part of the legal game too is if you got more resource than your opponent, try to drag it out, right?
Of course.
Man, that's. But we're talking about nuclear weapon security, people, mm-hmm. not the deep fat fry with the Burger King. I'm sounding the alarm as loud as I can. Mm-hmm. I'm going to stay within the dots. I'm talking to you. I'm not. I'm trying to work the system, and the system is broken.
Yeah.
And I kind of say this tongue in cheek, but. The system to protect federal employees from reprisal is so broken that the alarm that would tell you it's broken is broken too. And I'm saying this as someone who had operated on nuclear reactors on submarines, nuclear reactors and commercial power plants. One of the one things you're most afraid of, I have a broken alarm. Mm-hmm. Why? Because then if something goes wrong, I won't know about it. Right. So I'll make an analogy. When you start your car, you have all the warning lights come on that would verify the warning lights work. So that if an alarm condition arises, the alarm will work, right? Well, I'm sharing the alarm that would tell the president, and the president ultimately was going back to the system to protect employees from reprisal. The president has a statutory duty to take any action necessary to ensure federal employees are adequately protected from reprisal. However, if the Emergency Protection Board doesn't sound the alarm, he's like a fireman in a firehouse. The alarm hasn't sounded. I guess everything's okay.
Yeah. So where are you right now in your efforts, and how can people help you?
Well, I have a website. It's the URL is www.stopstonewallingmspb.com. And we're trying basically to locate one or more members of Congress that will ask Kathy Harris, the chairman of the Merit Protection Board, to respond to my whistleblower disclosures. She's stonewalling. She's stonewalling in the name of legal ethics and protecting her client. You know, so that's, you know, we have to overcome her stonewalling, and Congress can do it. The president can do it. In fact, the Secretary of Energy, what I'm asking for, you know, what would resolve my whistleblower disclosure? I'm asking Kathy Harris to ask the Attorney General to issue his opinion on the interpretation of the law that's in question about her duty to report. And she won't do that. So it's not like I'm asking her to ask my attorney to resolve it. I'm, you know, because the more of these nuances, you can't have one federal agency suing another. Okay. It's like they're all considered part of the executive branch. So if there's a dispute about a law that applies to more than one agency, which civil service laws obviously do, the Attorney General is the ultimate referee within the executive branch. Yes, a court could overrule the opinion of the Attorney General, but the Attorney General issues an opinion. That's the ruling for the executive branch, unless and until Congress changes the law or a court overrules it. So I'm trying to get the Attorney General to issue an opinion, and that is just... You know,
I don't think
in America, you know, that people would care about rule of law, the Attorney General, but I'm finding, no, we just care about, you know, getting away with what we can and not being found at fault.
Well, if you look at the southern border and everything else, I'm not sure the Attorney General's going to do much until you get a new administration. But
that could be. The other thing I'm evaluating, I'm going to be retiring soon. And at this point, when I retire, I'm thinking about filing a whistleblower reprisal complaint saying I've been constructively discharged. Am I trying to get money out of the government? No, I just want to get a resolution of my whistleblower disclosure because I think it's relevant to whether, I think we're at an unnecessary risk of a nuclear 9/11 or other existential catastrophe because of this law breaking in the, you know, the Merit Protection Board not sounding the alarm, the Office of Special Counsel with 120 employees, it's a fraud. When I'm saying it's a fraud, it just doesn't have the manpower to police a federal workforce of 2 million. It'd be like having a police force of New York of 100 cops. You know, the 100 cops might be very well-meaning, but they can't do the job. There's not enough. You know.
So give us that website again where people can go and learn more.
Yeah, it's HTTPS, but the website is Stop Stonewalling, MSPB, the acronym for the Merit Systems Protection Board. com.
Joe, thanks so much. We want to have you back once things move along. So,
well, Todd, I hope my ask of you is to try to get Kathy Harris to appear on your show and answer some questions. That would be okay.
We'll try.
I want to get some answers. Thank you.
We'll try. Take care, Joe. Okay.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Bye.